TH, how to make a color revolution. These will probably become snippets because I'm trying to understand it myself. I'm listening to one lady here. This is from Patrick Lancaster's YouTube channel. NATO and EU countries fund Georgian protests via NGOs, says NGO head. It's very interesting. It's a lady in Georgia who's been around, you know, since the 70s when there was Soviet Union and all of that. She tells her story, and about that recent color revolution attempt that was made, as it seems, following the usual rules and standard procedures, as color revolutions, even having that name immediately, generally have. So the way to do it, well, she said what happened was, because she is working with an NGO which is in opposition to the government, all going all the way back to the Soviet time. And what happened was that other NGOs, non-governmental organizations, popped up there in Georgia with these, you know, fine names such as, you know, the Organization for Democracy and Human Rights and different blends of those fine words. And you could understand that they were sponsored, financed from the West, from other countries. And what they did was that they started or became opposition parties, political opposition parties, which she then said are not opposition. She said it very strongly over and over. I don't know how to explain it, but they are not opposition. Opposition means that the people in a country are opposed to certain things that their own government does, and they want to highlight that and work to correct that or whatever. That's opposition, or a political party which then has another idea than the ruling governmental party and suggest that and then hope to get votes from the people. That's opposition. And she says that no, they are something else. And well, here you go. What you do then, you're sitting there with this nice fine NGO which directly or indirectly controls, I guess, an opposition political party, and may also be a media organization or working together with other NGOs or, yeah, so you, then you make a big bang on a big drum, especially going for young people, the students, university, you know, they can get angry and, and you pay or give different forms of support for such groups, help them to develop. And make them angry at the government. Tell them, you know, this bad government, bad, bad, bad. And then, you know, finance such groups where you may also include outright criminal elements, people who are just there to agitate and cause violence. you know, you pay someone to do that, and you know, why not? Stupid government anyway. There are always shady elements in society also that hate the government. So it's not so difficult. Once you have enough resources, financial, media, know-how, good people there in the top, I guess specially trained for doing this operation in foreign countries, or dissidents from that country that you then, under favorable circumstances for that person, employ to do that job. So I guess from what I hear from that lady, from the real life situation there, this is the way you do it, and this is the way it is always done, it seems. And once you've done that, then you gather all those kids and all those people there. Here they managed to gather like 5,000 or something in a central place in this capital city, best distance square outside of the government building. And you make a demonstration, and then you agitate that demonstration. And one way to do it is, you can find, if you study the Maidan Square incident back in Ukraine, 2014, or was it 2013, I don't remember. When even the demonstration appeared too peaceful, so at one point they drove in truckloads of hooligans, I guess belonging to those Nazi troops. Because that's another thing you can do. You sponsor terrorist groups, or, you know, these kind of gangs and extremist give them weapons or support, you know, to fight their government. And then, you know, you can get rid of them whenever you want. So they come there, and this actually happened on truckloads late into that demonstration there on the square, Maidan Square. Jumped off those truck loads, and started fighting with people, the police and others. And police had got already a phone call that they should go get weapons, which they didn't have before. And yes, they have a good fight. And what happens? Well, the government people, police or military, whatever, the National Guard or whatever, is ultimately called upon, because these demonstrations, you know, led now by these aggressive guys who came with those trucks there. They stand there with their megaphones and, let's storm the government building and throw the tyrant out. The fascist, bad, evil, Sauron leader. And, and that's enough, because then what happens is, at one point, the government people, the soldiers or whatever, they shoot someone, or they use violence, and that is spread into media all over the world. And then the people, the honest, suppressed, poor people, they storm that government building. And now, you know, you can call in all kinds of extra, you know, expert fighters. And they will have no chance there, because it's not that well protected. especially if you have the police on your side. No, actually you don't. So then, bang, bang, they shot. 5 people died. The government killed them, the fascist government. But then the fascist evil leader was driven out or executed. And now the country is saved. Oh, how lucky we were. It was a color revolution. And now there's a new president. And incidentally, if we look at how those new presidents, or whatever they are called, are then appearing on top of it all, if you study how that happens, I think that this also adds an interesting insight, because for some reason they seem to be put there by the good guys over there in the West. You know, here for instance they had this in Georgia, it seems it went differently this time, because you know, they had this president there who just stepped down now, a lady who was not even Georgian, French. Born to Georgian political refugees in Paris, joined French diplomatic service in 1970s, so raised, you know, in the fine diplomatic circles in Paris, and then wham, president in Georgia, and this lady who's talking here says that she can't even speak Georgian properly. We don't understand what she says. And she doesn't understand, she doesn't care about Georgians, actually. So, you know, and now that lady somehow or other slipped into becoming the president, and it's even hard to understand how it happened. And now, as she is about to slip out, because there was an election where another government was elected by the people. And then she says, and you get the usual message there in media throughout the world, that this election was not properly done. It should be nullified, whatever you say, and she stands up there talking to the other government people over the world, you know, I will never step down, and you had to come here and help me. And but you know, as this lady here says, you may pay a few thousand people to be there and protest and express their opinions and support her and call the new election rigged or false or whatever. But we, the people of Georgia, who are not paid, we are quiet, you know. That's how we are. People, normal people, are quiet. They're just living their lives and not very active. But then you pay a few thousand to do your errand, and they seem to represent the people. But democracy means that the people vote for their leader, and the one they vote for becomes the leader, not the one that is supported best by the West, which that lady seems to have thought. And I would say that this says a lot about what's going on in the world, or as this lady also says, she used to look up to the West. And I know I have friends, you know, that I knew during the Soviet time and all that, from Russia and all these countries, Georgia and Armenia. Very nice people. And they, how they looked up to the West, wanted to come over here to the West. But she says that now, I don't know, it's like a nightmare over there in the West. It's so different. They're just trying to control us here in our country, deprive us of our neutrality, of our independence, and make us dependent on their people that they put there in the government positions. So, yeah, this is a story for this time about the color revolution. And if you don't agree with my little analysis here, then we could continue and you can continue looking at other color revolutions and see if you can't find a pattern there that is repeated. Just as you can often find in these proxy wars that always tend to happen in these smaller countries that are adjacent to the one of the big countries, especially the one that we keep hearing is the evil one. But in general, the other big powers just nagging away little pieces from their edges by sundering and ruling, whatever you say you call it. And I think that it has come to the point where most of us, if we just wake up a little bit, can see what's going on. It's so obvious, it's so out in the open now. Even, you know, you have the CIA that used to be so secret everywhere. Now they are just practically working in the open and people don't even notice it anyway. Because now they are in the Hollywood movies as the heroes and people think they are cool guys and girls running around killing off leaders here and there in other parts of the world. And then, of course, if you start talking like this, then you're a conspiracy theorist. So maybe I should just shut up now. Anyway, what do I know?